I think at 36, you know, I'm just in a different place. If you ever want me to be the bachelor, I'll do that.
Things really played out wonderfully for me. It's easy to get wrapped up in the environment. It was definitely dramatic.
What drama?
Hello, Internet. Welcome to 25 to Life. I am your host, Adam. One of your hosts, Adam.
Boop, 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 boop.
You're not Taylor at all. This is not Taylor at all. My co-host tonight is not Taylor.
Special guest appearance.
Long-time listener, first-time podcaster. Everybody welcome my friend Frank to the show. Yay, Frank, yay! The crowd
goes
wild.
Thank you, everybody.
Frank, how are you doing?
I just got to do some shout-outs first. Should I get the shout-outs
out of
the way?
Yeah, you might as well. You got
to
do them.
Shout-out to the listeners worldwide.
They're
all out there. Shout-out to my listeners in Chicago.
There are dozens of us.
Shout out to my wife, the president of the Peter fan club.
Oh, Taylor would probably have something to say about that.
Maybe
sure.
Vice president.
Co-president's fine.
Shout out to Oprah.
Yeah.
Shout out to, did I miss anyone?
I don't know. Shout out to anybody who listened to Frank and I podcasting 6 years ago. About on our dumb little sports blog that was super fun about the NBA draft. Frank and I have known each other for a while.
Shout out to Anthony Bennett.
Yeah, the correctly predicted first pick.
No shout out to Ari.
No, that guy sucks. So Frank's known me since I started watching The Bachelor. I think he started watching around the same time as me, Sean Lowe's season, and I think he might be one of the only people in existence who has listened to most or maybe all of our episodes?
Probably most, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how many people there are alive who have listened to more of our episodes than you.
Well, I'm a big podcast listener, and I'm a big...
Don't cheapen this, Frank. Don't cheapen this.
And I'm a big gambler, and anytime I can... I think the only way I can get into reality shows is if there's some sort of competition level to it.
That's how I got into it, too. And then this podcast started 105 episodes later.
Exactly. So we were in a Facebook group / Betting on the Bachelor.
Yes.
In 2011, I think.
I don't even know time very well, but that sounds right. Yes,
2011. Yeah. And that really got me into it. There was a group of about 25, 26. I finished ninth.
Mostly women.
I think, Adam, you finished right behind me, 11th.
I don't think I did very well. I remember that the woman I picked to win it all got eliminated week two, which is an easy way to lose.
Yeah.
Frank's going to be co-hosting with me tonight. Taylor just...
Oh, shout out to Taylor.
Oh, wait, yes. Shout out to my wife, Taylor, who is listening somewhere, hopefully, and not working very hard at CES. Anyway, so Frank is here. We're going to do the regular show just with Frank instead of Taylor. So that's it. This week, first time all season, we lost people who we actually know. So we're going to go down the end of the road with the three women who we lost tonight. First up is Valerie, who is known for having red hair and I think going on the group date and maybe just disappearing entirely from the show.
Yep, I think that's about it.
She had no moments, but what do you get?
Nothing.
That's it. Thanks, Valerie. Yep. You were fun. Next up is Lauren G, also known as Black Lauren. She is out. Only
so now,
three Laurens remain.
Okay, so we eliminated one last week, right?
Yeah, Lauren G. And, S? J? No, S is still
okay,
there.
Okay, so X is still around.
X is still there.
Okay, so we still
S
have
is still there.
S,
and B is still
B,
there.
And our favorite, Lauren X.
The ultimate Lauren, yes.
Okay, great, great.
That's
three out of five.
Has Lauren G done anything to this point?
I mean, she had a couple conversations with Ari a little bit more than Valerie, but, I mean, nothing too memorable. At this point, they've all only had, a couple seconds of screen time. So, nothing really special
for
Lauren G.
Sorry, Lauren G.
I actually didn't think she was going to get eliminated. I thought maybe we were going to get to see her for longer, but, nothing too memorable.
See, the thing is, any of these three girls could have stayed in because Bibiana is clearly the producer sabotage plant here. And so, she should have been gone, and mysteriously one of these three is instead removed. So, I'm not sure who it would have been. All three of these women are pretty meaningless. Speaking of meaningless women, the third one is Jenny, who actually, she is notable for looking and acting just like Jenna. who is also on the show currently still. And now I guess there will be less confusion.
Like a lot of contestants, the only thing she really did that was memorable was her exit at the very end, where she basically walked out.
Classic confrontational, like, non-moment.
Departure. I think there was some conversation there about how she wasn't sad to leave him, but she made some friends on the show, so she was sad to leave everyone else. I don't know. She kind of lost it there.
I mean, what do we say when she's only been on this thing for like 1 minute? And what does she say when she's only been in the house for like 3 days? I don't know.
She also said that was her first ever breakup.
Sorry, Jenny. Rough life, right? Let's get into what actually happened on the real show. So we start the show. It's sort of the ramifications of night one. Everyone's getting their stuff together. And this is always weird. I'm not sure if this is an editing trick or this is just a, like, how the house operates or not. But so we start this thing, and just all the women are sitting around in one room talking about how great Ari is, which is weird because I feel like on The Bachelorette, the guys sit around and they're like, so what did you played football, right? And they're like bros together. The girls all just sit around and like talk about Ari. It's weird. So they're all doing this, and we come in. We get the one-on-one date card. Very first date of the whole season goes, no surprise, to Becca K. She's front runner right now, right? You think?
I guess. She's up there. I mean, I know she's close to the top of your list.
So let's put it this way. Like, she's on the short list of who could win.
Yes, definitely.
She is one of the people who could.
To translate into our, you know, NBA draft lingo, right? She's a top five pick.
She is a top five pick.
No, yeah. It's hard to tell where exactly she's going to go. It's way too early, I think, to really declare a winner.
Way too early, but with hand size like that and the 40 yard, I mean, the cone shuttle. We're talking about the cone shuttle.
She's got such a vertical. A good vertical. I mean, the first thing I took away was the creative editing to get Ari on a motorcycle with the bomber jacket.
That's going to be exhausting. I'm already sick of it. So here's what happens on the date, right? She comes out and she gets in this little motorcycle with him, and all the other girls come out and watch, which is weird. The two of them get on the motorcycle. It's real cute. They ride up and down the California coastline, and they go to this like big mansion or whatever, where, surprise, designer Rachel Zoe with all these clothes. Because this is how you tell a woman that you have feelings for her, is that you hire another famous woman to let her try on clothes that she doesn't even get to keep. That was the date, or that was the first half of the date.
This is my takeaway from that. He has zero ideas for dates.
All of his dates are so boring, just like him.
Does he have any ideas? Like, let's think about how this process goes.
I have a theory about how this process goes, but you go first.
In previous seasons, we've seen, you know, Backstreet Boys dates early in the season.
I'm going to talk about that later.
We've seen, you know, skydiving early in the season.
Yeah.
You know, you could just walk to a scary bridge, right? And just, you know, do something to build up a little adrenaline, you know? But I literally think he probably went to the producers and had a conversation. He said, I have no ideas. Like, pick something for
me. What do we do? Oh, I ride cars, so that's basically a motorcycle. Yeah, we'll take on a motorcycle, right?
The motorcycle is one thing. That was kind of, at least gave him a look. But to go meet with Rachel Zoe and have, you know, Becca try on designer dresses and shoes and everything.
Fashion show.
Like, there's 0% chance that was Ari's idea. He's like, okay, I'm going on this show. What dates am I going to do when I get on the show? This is my first idea.
See, I think, you know, like, I'm a child of the 90s. I grew up in the 90s. You know, I like to think this date is inspired by Ari basically revisiting Mighty Ducks D2, where a bunch of kids who have never been to L.A. go to L.A., and then Goldberg weasels out with a bunch of them to Rodeo Drive, tells him that his uncle Aaron Spelling wants him to go into this fancy retail store. And then he's like, you know what? I'd like to sit here and watch a bunch of women try on nice clothes and maybe swimsuits. And it worked because they were children and it was magic and it was the 90s and everything was glowing and beautiful. And so, that's what he did. That's exactly what he did.
We'll continue this point when we get to his touring of his high school to prove the point that he has no actual date ideas.
Oh my God. I don't even know.
But case in point, yeah. I mean, there's more to this date, but there's what is this idea?
It's terrible. So she tries on all these clothes. She picks something out, and then here's like the real part of the date. She goes back to the mansion where all the girls are staying with her brand new clothes. She like takes this pit stop, no pun intended, in the middle of the date, and she's like, okay, check it out, girls. This is what I got. And they're all like oohing and aahing because I guess they have nothing else to talk about at the house. And then she puts it all on and goes back out with him to this like, what do they even go to? I wrote this down, but it was boring I forgot. Yes. That's it. They go out. They go out for like whatever, dinner or something. And then she gets to tell kind of a unique sob story. It's like a 2-for-1. She's like, listen, my dad had brain cancer, and the only reason I got through it was this man I was in a relationship with for 7 years, but we broke up, and I was like, wow, this is a loaded. I mean, this is a classic time to tell your sob story, but she like double punched you.
Do you think that's why she got to keep the earrings?
I think she got to keep the earrings because, like, she had to get something out of this date. I think the producers are like, yeah, you're going to get her clothes and everything, but she doesn't even get to keep those. And then I guess she just gets to tell you, like, the story, and then she stays, and what? Like, that's it? We got to give her something.
Yeah. 7-year relationship, is that a red flag for you, or do you think Ari is how do you think he responds to that?
She said on and off again, which is kind of troubling. But also, I don't know. At least she's old enough to have dated somebody for 7 years, which, like, Becca can't even say. Like, half of these women can't even say that. They haven't even been, like, of age for 7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't mean, like, of legal age. I mean, like, of dating age. So of age to drive a car to your boyfriend's house.
Of life.
Yeah. They're not driving age plus 7 at all. So, I don't know. It was a really boring date, but, like, whatever. I mean, Becca's not exciting, but she is, like, neither is he. Obviously, he is not. She's doing very well at this point.
I agree. It seems like they, are hitting it off, and she is already a contender.
Yeah, it's a bad date for TV, but probably a good date for, like, real life.
Right.
Okay, sorry. Real life is a very loaded term for as real of life as you can get in this thing.
It's hard to know how, like you discussed last week, he doesn't really talk in complete sentences, so they must not have had much material to work with.
He really doesn't even talk a lot at all. It's, when it comes out, it's certainly not sentences, but he doesn't say a lot.
I just think the producers and the editors have a lot of work to do this season. They have to pick all his dates for him.
Oh, definitely.
They have to do tons of creative work to just find a flowing conversation among what he's said. It's probably the hardest season for them in terms of editing and producing.
I don't know how many people listening have edited video before, but it's hard to make somebody who can't speak like on camera for a long time. It's hard to edit that into something that actually works. And I don't have an extensive history of editing video, but I have been editing this podcast for 6 years.
Especially coming off a season where you had Rachel, who was just full of amazing,
great speaker.
Amazing speaker, yeah. Full of great sound bites, like definitely knew how to come up with something witty to say for the camera in every situation. Like, it's just, it must be vastly different.
Ari is terrible. He is so boring. He's, I don't get it. I mean, he's not bad. He's just bad for TV.
So we're going to get into this, but on this date with Becca K, he talks about how he did some other automotive events after he retired from the but we'll get into this later.
Okay. Do you have anything else to say about this date, or are we ready to move on to the next
one? Nope, it's clear she's a contender, but nothing really too remarkable.
She's kind of boring like he is. Whatever, they fit. So the next date, it gets this girl is going to be a troublemaker this season. It's Crystal. So they go on a one-on-one date that is, again, shows no originality. They get on an airplane and they fly back to his hometown, Scottsdale, which is pretty darn close. And he shows her his high school and where he had his first kiss. And they go through baby photos and family videos. Just all of the useless, just boring snore. Like, this is a date you're going to have eventually. It's literally baked into the show that whoever stays in long enough gets to go to your hometown and see all this stuff. But she goes now because he was like, well, I guess at some point they got to come to my home, right? I guess. So let's do it now. And so they did, I guess.
There's nothing else for the second date. I don't know. I'll leave it at that with the point. But to go to your high school and walk around, here's the principal's office. Like, I don't know.
I was kind of a troublemaker. Oh, bullshit. You were... No, you were not. Your dad was famous. You were fine.
So then he gets into going to his house, which seems pretty nondescript in Scottsdale.
Yeah, that also seems pretty presumptive for a first date, don't you think? Hey, come on over to my place. We'll just be alone in my house for a while.
Again, I don't think he really thought this through or had much of an idea of what he was going to do. I mean, presumably there's lots of... We've both been to Scottsdale. We talked about this show. There's some interesting things
there's a lot to do there.
Yeah, you could go to spring training facilities or go to, couple of the big golf courses
there's
there.
There's like big universities. So there's always like student events, like campus events going on.
Right.
I mean, or you could sit in your house and look at old photo albums of you when you were a kid. Surprise, he was blonde. That's the surprise. That's the date.
Or I'm assuming that, he has some race cars hanging around somewhere. Maybe he's got a garage he could take her to.
Does he, Frank?
Well,
does he?
I'm going to say maybe not. And that's why I had to go to his high school.
Okay,
let's get into it now.
Yeah, we might as well do it.
So one of the things that I wanted to talk about is, because I'm really... waiting to see how in depth they get into Ari's professional car racing career over the course of this show.
I'm glad that you want to talk about this. I do no research on these things because I'm afraid of spoilers. But Frank brought this to my attention tonight. He came over and he's like, I did some research on Ari's racing career. And me, just soaking up what the show tells me like an idiot, I'm like, oh yeah, he was a professional race car driver, right? Frank, how would you tell the people about his career?
Here's the deets. So actually, we saw in this episode that his grandfather was also a racer. I don't have a lot of information about his grandfather, but we know that his father was a really incredibly legit IndyCar racer. His dad won the Indy 500, which for those who aren't race car fans, I'm not even a big race car fan, but I know enough to recognize...
It's like the biggest race on planet Earth.
Yeah, Indy 500 is the biggest race among... So there's NASCAR, and then there's the IndyCar series, essentially, which is a different type of car. Ari Lewandowski Sr. is among probably the top 20 race car drivers of all time. He won the Indy 500 in 19...
That is not the Ari Lewandowski that we're
That's not the one
about.
We're talking about.
That's
this is
his
the
dad.
Senior. His okay. His father won the Indy 500 in 1990 and 1997. He won it twice. So that's pretty significant. He is a big time name that I've seen a couple articles that he's named one of the top drivers of all time. So then you look up Ari Jr.'s career, and you realize that really he spent most of his racing career essentially in the minor leagues of driving, right?
That sounds... I mean, considering how low profile the major leagues is, that sounds like a pretty miserable career.
Exactly. So he spent a couple of attempts trying to get it to, quote-unquote, the big leagues of IndyCar racing. In 2005...
The big leagues, which, by the way, is a thing that we use to call another sport, baseball.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So 2005, he tries to qualify for the Indy 500, doesn't qualify. This is a full 2 seconds short of per lap of qualifying. And then in 2006, he finally does qualify for the race, but doesn't even end up finishing the race and finishes, I think, 38th in that race. And that's it. That's his only races at the biggest stage of the world.
So he has never finished a race?
At the highest level.
I don't care what you did on the dirt track around you're not a professional.
So then after...
He has never finished a race as a professional IndyCar.
Well, I'm sure he'll define it later in the season and, say that the minor leagues, the lower level.
Doesn't
of racing...
one of these girls want to step up and be like, so what is it that you do?
So
your dad's famous and that's it?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what we're dealing with here. His dad was an extremely famous race car driver or IndyCar driver, and he dabbled in it and was not a very talented race car driver. He then went on after his race car career to do essentially some like off-road car, not like monster trucks, but kind of the dirt racing where you almost X Games style. But I mean, that's clearly like it was just grasping at straws for something else to do with his career. And so it's good to see that he's found real estate now, appears to be his thing. But I know that they're going to continue to fawn over the allure of his professional racing career. And it should just be known that there really isn't anything there.
There's no there.
There's no there there. Who do you think is the best athlete, most accomplished athlete who's actually appeared on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
I have no idea. They all seem like they kind of halfway did nothing.
I mean, Jesse Palmer was in the NFL, right?
I guess.
But that's a long time ago.
Yeah. I don't know.
Kenny King is actually a real professional wrestler.
At least.
But yeah, no.
So anyway, so we sort of revisit the glory days of his very limited career. The entire date, Crystal is like, she's trying way too hard. It's exhausting to be around Crystal. He's like, so I was a race car driver. She's like, oh my God, a race car driver? You have it all together. And he was like, yeah, and now we're going to go meet my mom and dad. And then she, this is a literal quote. She's like, oh my God, a mom and a dad? What is that like? Oh man. This girl is like, she's one word away from just exploding into a ball of tears every time she says anything. She's so overwhelmed by how together he is and how wonderful his life is. And like, yeah, that's what happens when you grow up with a millionaire race car driver for a dad. You have nice stuff. You have a hot mom. You got hot brothers and sisters. Everyone's hot. You got money. You don't have problems. This is what money buys. Comfort. She did not do this. She went into a lot of pains to tell him at their little dinner about how her parents were divorced. Like, I mean, like, listen, we get it.
Oh, and by the way, Ari is really drunk during this date.
Yeah, we wouldn't have anything to say if he were sober. He doesn't say anything. He just sits there and, like, she's crying into him, like, oh my God, my parents, only divorce ever, boo-hoo-hoo. And he's sitting there like, I don't know what to say. Are you done talking so I can kiss you now? And she's just like, I'm not done talking yet because I have so much crying to do. And I think that's my... Oh, no, wait, her brother.
Yeah, let's talk about the brother situation.
How could I skip over her brother? So basically,
she lets us know that a year and a half or so before the show, her brother was attacked and ended up in the hospital. And that's when she found that he had been living on the streets for, I think, a year leading up to that point.
Yeah.
And so she reveals all this information to Ari, and they talk about it, and, you know, he tells her everything's okay, and then they move off to a private concert. But they kind of move through it pretty quickly, I have to think.
There's a lot going on here. So originally she's like, yeah, my parents were divorced, my dad left, so basically I had to raise my brother.
What drama?
Which is a beautiful little story. It's a beautiful little story when your brother turns out to be like the rest of us. You can't be like, I raised my brother, and then before you know it, he's been homeless for a year. Like, you didn't talk for a year? You were like, what are you doing? Are you indoors right now?
I do wonder, do you think they just didn't talk at all? Or did they talk and he just never mentioned that he was homeless?
I think she's being dramatic.
So what do you think is the actual...
They didn't talk.
They didn't talk at all. So
I think they're not. I think they're not that close. I think she's probably very absorbed in herself and maybe doesn't have room for another person in her life. Like, say, her homeless brother. And here's how you know. I told you this when we were watching the show.
Yep.
And I will say it again now for the people. If the story starts, I found out my brother was homeless. The story ends, and now my brother lives with me. That is your brother. You can't just be like, okay, I'm going to put you on a bus and send you back to the beach. You can't do that.
Right, right. You try again.
Your brother? Again. Your brother is homeless? And you live in a home, which, by the way, right now is unattended because you are living in the mansion.
So, okay, I have a question for you, Adam.
I'll answer.
Maybe two questions. Ooh. One, do you think Crystal is going to make the top four or top five?
No.
Do you think...
I think she's got a ceiling around 10.
Okay. because I think, what are the odds that we meet the brother?
I think this season. I think zero. I think zero because the producers of the show don't want to meet homeless people.
So you think that there's no chance that she sneaks up there somehow? I mean, she got a rose. She just went on a one-on-one date. They seem to be getting along pretty well. She could be a secondary villain later on in the season.
She's definitely... She is a villain, and Chelsea is a villain, and Bibiana is a villain. Those three are the pre-identified, I think, villains of the season.
Bibiana's just around for another week or two.
Yeah, she's probably the first one to go.
And then Chelsea, you know, was doing a lot of interrupting. Chelsea and Crystal first episode
will be the primary villains, instigators of the season.
I think there's a possibility that we meet the brother, because I think Crystal.
What would we do? How would we meet him? He just shows up and they're like, "This is my brother."
What if she gets fourth and they go to hometowns, right? And they bring Ari around to meet her brother on the streets. I don't know. I think that I've seen enough after Dean of last season.
That's true.
That you have to think maybe the producers learned from that experience, and they're saying like, oh, we don't want to subject someone to like an awkward situation. But I think they're probably itching to make that happen.
Crystal just like literally cannot hold it together to say an entire sentence. I don't know how long anybody can put up with that. So then
after that, Ari, he said this a couple times already, but he says, we have another surprise. And they go to a private concert of someone we hadn't heard of.
Connor Dermott?
McDavid.
Dermott? I don't know. The show is still reeling from the Backstreet Boys date like 4 years ago. They blew all their money to get the Backstreet Boys on TV. Not blew. Sorry, that's the wrong word to use. They invested all their money to get somebody that I want to see on TV. And now we just got to deal with these pieces of shit, small-time acts.
So I hope you and Taylor can keep track of this. Maybe we'll do a budget estimate at the end of the season.
What if Connor Dermott is Crystal's brother?
That would be a great twist.
Pull them off Venice Beach, and they're like, yeah, you're playing guitar for some bucks, right? Yeah, all right, we're going to put you on TV. We'll give you like 50 bucks, clean you up, nice suit of clothes, that's it.
But seriously, I wonder if they actually are not putting money into these dates anymore, or if next week and the week after we're going to see some big budget dates.
So many people watch this show. They could get big name bands if they wanted to, if they could pay anything. Also, I mean, I don't know. I don't listen to the radio. Connor Dermott might be huge. I don't really know. But anyway, it seems to me like we're still struggling from the Backstreet Boys date. Three, four seasons ago? Long time.
So then the last part of this date is she goes back to the house and everyone is asking how it went, and she won't tell.
She's like, I'll never tell.
But I initially read this as she just didn't really remember anything interesting enough worth like recounting, because they essentially went to his high school and his house.
It was very boring. It was terrible.
So I think there's a non-zero possibility she just... It was like when you come home from work and someone says, oh, how was your day at work? And
I don't
like,
know what happened.
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was great. But no, it didn't seem like there was enough, you know, information revealed there.
I think this is her play. I think this is her play to get under everybody else's skin.
It could be. You see it later in the episode.
In that regard, it's working. Mm-hmm. But like, you're not playing games with people. Like, be a nice person to people. Don't just try to get under people's skin. That's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we'll get into it later, but obviously it becomes more evident later that she's most likely doing this on purpose.
She is. All right, so Crystal's home, whatever. She's over. We have a group date with so many people. 15 people go on this group date. I'm not going to list them all because that would be insane. It's everybody left except two of the Laurens, three of the Laurens.
Because Lauren X was also
Lauren
not
X
there.
Also not in the state. And then Jacqueline and Ashley. It's everybody else. If you're keeping track at home, good for you. If you could just name all 15 people based on who wasn't there, congratulations for you. You're better than I am. So they go, and like the date is
Demolition Derby,
which is an exhausting idea, a terrible idea. Not just because of the physical contact and everything, but because like nobody's actually getting to hang out with anybody on this. You're just alone in your car. Ari's alone outside the cars. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I mean, isn't this one of the same networks that has, well, I guess ABC doesn't have football, like live football anymore. Oh, no, they have college football.
They do.
So they've got to be like loosely aware of the massive like concussion discussion going on right now. And this is real.
Amateur drivers with like real engines and cars. What a terrible idea.
I mean, Brittany, yeah,
Brittany destroys people.
She destroys people, but she definitely got a concussion.
Also herself.
Also herself.
Like, she was like carted off the field and like taken to the hospital.
Right.
She did the best of the entire thing. But yeah, so we get here and like all these girls are like, they're all like, yay, let's paint the cars. And then we have Annalise off to the side. The one girl who stands out from the crowd is Annalise. She stands out in a negative way. You know, draw attention to yourself, but do it on your own terms. She's not doing that. She's off to the side crying. And at this point, what is the funniest moment of the season?
This is the highlight of the show.
She's like, listen, when I was a kid, and you hear this, you're like, oh, we're going to get in cars and crash into each other. And you're thinking, like, when I was a kid, I got in a car accident and somebody close to me died or, like, something like that. No. She's like, when I was a kid, I was racing bumper cars and I got, like, trapped in the middle and all these cars were bumping into me and it was just really traumatic. And she's, like, crying. She's, like, crying her makeup off. It's terrible.
And the producers love this moment because we get an amazing montage.
We get this montage of this little girl whose face is blurred out. It's black and white. She's driving this bumper car around and she's very distraught. Or at least it looks that way. It's blurred out again. She's like panicking. She's looking around. And you're like, did you really need to show us what it was like to be trapped in this bumper car situation?
Do you think this is stock footage? Like, is there stock footage out
there? I think they did a shoot.
Of small children?
I think they went out for a shoot. They, like, cast this little girl. All right, yeah, blur her face up. Put her in this car. Drive around. Camera. Zoom in.
And then they blurred her out.
No, it's definitely stock footage.
It's probably stock footage.
It's got to be stock footage.
Yeah.
So Annalise is having a hard time. Not too hard of a time because she gets out there.
What would you have done in this situation if you were Ari and Annalise's...
I would have ridden in the car with Annalise.
You would have just gone inside her car, the two of you next to each other. You try to win the game together.
No, not right. I mean, like, I would have ridden in the car with her. She would have driven. I would have ridden along, and then the thing would have been over, and I would have said, listen, I had a great time, but I'm going to ask you to leave the show because I need somebody who can keep it together.
Yeah,
bumper cars. Listen, getting in a car is like object number one of everyone's day-to-day life all the time. If you can't handle that, you're f***ing out. Like, there's no way around this. If you can't get in a car without crying your eyes out, that's an issue.
I had hopes for Annalise. She's from the Bay Area. She's the local connection for this show. But yeah, I mean, I don't think she makes it very long. Do you?
She can't. No, this is not a good look. The explosion crying look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your date is standing there and taking a bullet. If you start crying a lot, it's going to look terrible. Nobody wants to deal with that. Nobody wants to deal with someone who is emotionally so fragile they can't keep it together for anything. You're in the middle of the best part of your life. You're in the middle of this show, extravagant show, where you live in a mansion and people fly you all over the world to do these dates that are totally unrealistic and exceptional, and you're crying in the middle of this? Come on.
Oh, man. And okay, let's talk about some other great moments from this date. Tia, a.k.a. Raven 2.0.
Yes, Tia is Raven.
Tia is swearing like a sailor.
Tia has a very foul mouth.
So far, every time she's been on screen, basically.
Do you think this is a strategy for success? Do you think this is going to like make her stand out? Because do you think it's going to make her be like, this one is the real down-to-earth girl? Or do you think he's just going to be like, listen, like, I need somebody who doesn't do this?
It's hard to say. I don't think...
He's so boring, he doesn't have a tell about what he's into.
Right. Maybe she ends up being some comedic effect. It's hard to tell at this point. But it was definitely, you know, the only thing that stood out about her in this entire episode.
I mean, she stood out, Brittany stood out because she was crazy. She, like, destroyed half the people and herself. And then Cien stood out because she won the actual demolition derby.
Oh, before we get to that, another great zinger from Chris Harrison, who's been spending less and less time on screen as the season goes by. Which is weird,
because Ari's not screen-worthy, so they need somebody to be on there.
But Chris Harrison with the zinger in the booth with Kenny Gordon, who I think is another NASCAR or
some
car
kind of driver of something
legend. Chris Harrison says, could this be Ari's first time to win in a car?
And it wasn't.
And it wasn't, because he didn't win. Cause
he didn't win.
Because Cien won.
Because Cien won. Good for her. At this point, like, whatever. If you're not cheering for Cien to win, at least get, like, really far. Like, there's something wrong with you. She's standing out in all the good ways.
And then we get to learn more about her that night.
Oh, yes, we do. So we move on, right? So we go on to the second part of this date, where they're all just hanging out, and it's like, it's weird. There's too many girls here, and everyone's kind of like, you know, jostling for position and time with him. Cien wins this. So she sits down with him on this, like, outdoor couch thing. I think they might be back at the mansion. I can't tell.
Like, it's like a secondary mansion.
Right. It's the backup mansion.
The backup mansion.
There, like, and Chelsea grabs him first, and she's like, listen, I have a kid. And he's like, it's totally cool. But internally, he's like, all right, you're done. And then we see Cien next, and she sits down, and she's like, listen, I'm Cien. By the way, look at me. She's like, her skin is like glowing or like shimmering, or like, it's like there is some sort of internal light source that is like manifesting its way out of her face when she smiles at you, which is fantastic. Also, she's crazy hot. But anyway, she's like, listen, I'm Cien. So like, I used to live in Scottsdale just like you. And by the way, then I went to Yale NBD. And he was like, wait a minute. And she's like, yeah, Yale. And also, look how hot I am.
And also, I studied abroad in Brazil and Italy. Like, she has the full profile.
Speaking of profile, this is something that's unique about Cien, I think. She is hotter from a little bit of an angle and not straight on.
Interesting.
Not like, she's something straight on. She's still like 9.5 straight on. But she turns like a little bit sideways, and you're like, wait a second, are you glowing? And she is. The thing is, she is.
So is this a unique thing that's only true about Cien?
Yes.
Or is this true about everybody?
No, this is true about only Cien.
Of all women ever?
Yes.
So,
yes,
bold
Franklin.
Statement. Bold
yes.
statement. Well, you know, I agree. She's got the profile, both in the resume sense and in the good looks. I think she looked amazing, and I think when I listened to last week's episode, I wasn't quite sure that, you know, she was at the top of his radar, you know, even though it seems like she was near the top of your radar.
I'm not watching this show for his radar, Frank. I'm watching this show to broadcast my radar. By the way, I just did a very effeminate hand wave motion, which Frank is the only person to have seen live and in
the
studio.
The radar wave. But I think now it's clear that she's close to the top of his list.
She and Becca K, you think are probably one and two in some order for him, are one and two, or maybe just tied for first at this point. I would think. I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, they are two of the three roses tonight, and so those are the first people he got to choose roses for, essentially. Yeah. Other than the first impression rose, so you'd have to say that.
So like, this is like the meat of the episode is basically over at this point, and the rest of it is just like the Bibiana explosion. And it starts at the end of this group date. He gives the group date rose to Cien because he just found out how awesome she is, and we sort of boil this whole thing over into the rose ceremony, where for some reason Bibiana is still upset that she has not had time with him. So just to be clear, at the end of the group date, everybody could have had time with him. You just basically have to walk up to him and talk to him. And I don't think she did it, and then she was really upset about it, and somebody was like, are you going to go talk to him? And she was like, no, and she stormed off. Am I right?
This is just level one of the Bibiana fire, because it progressively gets worse.
It is oxygenated and escalates into the rose ceremony, which I think is the next night. So they all get together. You know, Chelsea being a little bit aggressive in terms of talking to the other women.
She tells a story about how she's a mother and has a 3-year-old kid.
Right, so I think that kind of rubs some people, like, gets everyone kind of a little bit on edge. And then Crystal really, like, punches it home. This is the number one, like, taboo on the show, right? You don't, when you already have a rose, you let the women without one spend all of the bachelor or bachelorette's time. and you just kind of play it cool, which is not what Crystal does at all. She, like, demands attention right away, first time, so this sets Bibiana off. And then when Bibiana is having her time with Ari, she scoops back in for a double dip on the time she shouldn't have even had the first one with, and now Bibiana is very upset.
You know, I mean, this is all about the percent that you always talk about, right?
This is the percent. This is a classic percent story.
You know, she doesn't care about Bibiana's. She's just going to make sure that she gets at least her 5 minutes of time with him that night. She said, didn't see this, but she said she only got 2 minutes earlier. So she's just playing the game.
You already have a rose and a one-on-one date. So, like, you're at total him time. You're at, like, 20%. And you're only allowed 5. So you just be thankful for what you have, Crystal.
So if this were Survivor, say, a different game, where the girls could vote her out, right? Then I would say, oh, this is a bad move. You're alienating people that could be your allies in the future. But literally, I don't think she has anything to lose by going back another time, other than giving giving some additional fuel for the TV edit, you know?
Do you think she cares that she's never going to make it onto my list, onto my power rankings? Do you think Crystal is appearing on camera like, I wonder what Adam from 25 to Life is going to say about me? Am I going to be in his power rankings?
On the one hand, I could spend more time with Ari. On the other hand, this really jeopardizes my top 4 placement.
Maybe she's into this, like, beard I have going now.
You do have quite the beard. This is the longest I've ever seen with the beard.
I know. I don't think I've
How long has Taylor been out of town? couple days?
This beard is a couple of weeks, months even.
Oh, wow.
I haven't been shaven, like, down to my normal, like,
Since
the wedding.
Oh, wow.
I left for the honeymoon. I was just like, guess what? I'm growing a beard now. And
it's a good beard. Don't worry, listeners.
Except for, like, right here. That's another, whatever. It's, they don't
directly
no.
below the left
no,
side.
It's totally full all the way around. Very sexy.
So a couple more thoughts from this nighttime before we get to the rose ceremony.
Please.
For the whole night, right, they're spending probably hours before the rose ceremony happens.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Sometimes it goes even into the wee hours of the morning.
Yes.
So Crystal is carrying around her rose. Do they all carry around their roses the whole night?
I don't know. I honestly don't remember. It's easier with the men because they just pin it on
it's
a boutonniere,
right.
Yeah. I don't remember if this is typical or not.
I think this is unique. I think this is something that's kind of revealing
she's just
about
flaunting
her.
It.
She's just
she's like, look
it.
At this.
Yep. Yeah. So
also
that's just
a very
kind of,
effeminate rose wave I just did.
Just
Frank's
it's the
face.
Same. It's the same movement as the,
it is just with my other hand because you're on that
as,
side
as,
of me.
As the radar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think this is another personality characteristic for Crystal.
She is something. She's going to be a player this season. She's going to be one of those people that the producers just keep on.
Since this is probably my only episode since Taylor's coming back, I will make a prediction that she makes it long enough that we get to meet the brother. That's my prediction.
That is pretty bold.
I'm just saying we see the brother. We meet the brother on the show.
I mean, he's in, like, Venice Beach. He's nearby. He's only, like, miles away.
Yeah, they could go see him on a date, even.
He could just walk up to the mansion.
Maybe the mystery person who shows up wanting to talk to the
The mystery guy.
The mystery guy comes by. Maybe that's the brother coming to talk to Crystal.
Maybe he shows up and maybe he, like, falls in love and leaves with Lauren X. Yep. I feel like Lauren X is really going to be a key player in this season.
Perfect. I like
as we keep going. You have anything else to say about this rose ceremony? I don't think we didn't really lose anybody we cared about. The producer pick last rose thing was Bibiana. She's just running on fumes at this point, though.
I thought it was interesting that Mikkel got the first rose. I always think
the first rose should be the safe one, the one you expect. Should
exactly.
have been Brittany.
From a gambling perspective, you always want to see who the first roses are given to because that's the, like, easy picks for him. Right? So Mikkel was the very first one, which is, we didn't really see her at all this episode. Jacqueline, who you like.
Who I love, but yes, go ahead.
And then Becca M, who I think is a front runner and a couple others. But yeah, I thought it was weird that Mikkel got the first rose. Wonder why.
I think Becca M is, like, a classic fifth place lock. I don't think she's not serious enough to like go home and meet her family because she's like 12, but she's fun to have around. She doesn't instigate with the other women. I feel like everyone kind of likes her being around, and she makes the show a lot more interesting.
And she's very peppy and excited about everything. Like when the date card comes, she's wide-eyed and
shocked. Like, she's like the good parts of Crystal, minus all the tears and like emotional confusion.
I could definitely see her lasting a long time.
I think fifth. I think she's just a lock to get fifth.
Interesting.
At this point. So that's it. Speaking of rankings and where people will finish, let's go to our power rankings. Have you determined a methodology for your rankings?
I think shout out to Taylor again. I've got to stick with the format of the show. I will be doing in Taylor's normal who he is going to pick.
Okay.
At this moment, who he is going to pick.
Right. So let's start at the bottom. I'm going to give you my number four. It is still Lauren S., who wasn't on the show very much, but guess what? I'm still into her. So that's going to be kind of a theme. So go ahead.
I think you'll be surprised to hear that her name will be coming up in short.
That is my number four. Who is your number four?
My number four is Becca M., who I think will be around for a while. I can see maybe they'll, you know, do a rock climbing date in the future. Seems very bachelor's, you know, type of date to do, since she's a big rock climber.
I don't think Becca brought a bra to this show. She's never wearing one.
Even we saw her on the race car date, and you pointed out that she was one of the first to remove her.
Yes, she's never wearing. She's never wearing clothes.
Yeah.
She either isn't ever wearing a bra, or she is wearing bras that have little nipples on the outside of them. They just show through the shirt. I don't know.
Listen, she's cute. I think he has 10 indistinguishable blonde girls to choose from at this point.
Oh my god, there's still so many.
So, thinking about his simple process on how to narrow this down.
She's different from everyone.
I
said she was going to get fifth, so I can't be upset if you put her at four.
But let's say your final group is Cien, two Beccas.
If my final group is Cien and three of anybody, they just stop.
Stop the show at that point.
There's no more discussion.
And two or three, let's say Jenna
and Lauren
S. And
was it X?
Yeah, Jenna, Lauren.
Lauren X.
Is Lauren X also a blonde? We have to decide.
I think so.
Okay, so Lauren X is also a blonde. So Lauren X, Lauren S, and Kendall, right? And Jenna. And he's going to say, okay, I'll eliminate one of these blonde girls and
one
keep Becca around.
One of these clones.
I think Becca M is a good bet for fourth at this point.
She's something. Okay, who's your number three?
My number three is Becca K, who I think really impressed on this episode. It seems like they got along great, no seeming conflict. I think she could definitely go a long way.
She's
obviously
on the short list, yeah.
Obviously he has identified her as one of the top people.
First one-on-one date, that's a giveaway.
It was also Jimmy Kimmel's pick to win. I think she's definitely up there. I haven't seen enough yet to think that she's gonna get the win necessarily. I mean, maybe we'll see more in the weeks to come, but enough for number three on my list.
My number three is Brittany. She kind of went nuts on the Demolition Derby date, which, you know what, that's the way to do the dates. The way to do every date is to be like, listen, I'm going to recklessly go into this and just have a good time, which she did. And also, she has enormous boobs, which she has no problem just putting out there. You know what? And, like, I have no problem with that. I'm just looking. It's just TV. Like, put them out there.
Was she the one who had the dress that was a little too small for her?
It was a lot too small for her. It didn't cover anything. She had at least like a C cup outside of it, let alone what was held in, which was not much.
So who's your number two?
My number two is Jacqueline, because I love her.
Tell me what your attachment is to Jacqueline.
Her hair and face.
That's it.
Yes, if I could like choose to be with one of these women and CN was unavailable, I would pick Jacqueline. No spoilers, don't worry. My number one is going to be a big surprise. Well, who is your number two?
My number two is CN. I think she obviously had another great episode. She basically won the group date.
Oh, by the way, I went to Yale.
And just a really impressive, as I said during the show, she's the Anthony of this season.
She's great. She has, there is a light source inside of her. She's so fantastic.
Yeah, I think she's you know, obviously beautiful. She has a lot going for her and a lot that I think he responded pretty much like, oh, you went to Brazil. Oh, you went to Italy. Like,
I know. I think there was some shock
in his voice.
It's because he saw her like a little bit off straight center and he was like, oh, wait a minute.
So I think it's obvious that he sees a lot.
He's in
there.
For that. Like that's my number one also. So like now we've talked about her.
And my number one is Lauren S.
Lauren S.
So here's
from
the thing.
Nowhere.
Here's the thing. We didn't see a lot of her this show. She didn't get a date.
That's a good use of here's the thing,
but,
by the way.
But here's
Thank
the thing.
You. Thank
here's
you, Frank.
The thing. An Adam Boniface favorite. All right. If you really think about who got no dates at all this week, they all made it.
They did.
No one who did not get a date.
He
this
only
week.
Eliminated people he spent more time with.
Exactly. So I think that tells you something about what he was thinking in regard to the people he didn't go on a date with, which is that he knew he wanted to keep them.
So basically, you think maybe his first two were the girls who got the one-on-one date, and then like his 3, 4, 5, 6 were like the girls he didn't date. Because he was like, yeah, I know already.
Exactly. I think, yeah, that in a sense could be a reason to think Cien, until this episode, might not have been in his top six. Right, because
she's got
to
be in everyone's top.
He clearly had an interest in spending time with Becca and Crystal, and then he knew that. Okay, let's go through the people who were totally safe. That includes Lauren S. It includes, I believe, the other Lauren B.
Yes, Lauren X, Jacqueline,
Lauren X,
Jacqueline and Ashley,
and he kept all of them around.
Yes,
so I think that was enough. And then we see that he goes on a one-on-one in the credits.
Yes.
He's going on a one-on-one with Lauren S. next week. So
I think Lauren S. is way better than I've been giving her credit for.
I think we're about to see
her. And she's been number four for me 2 weeks in a row now. So.
And I think the reason that I ended up picking her number one is because I hadn't seen anyone else who he's spent a lot of time with rise to the level of being like a surefire number one for me as like, there's something... there's a clear front runner. Like, you know, as Taylor was saying last week, I could see Cien not winning. I could see her getting third or fourth. Becca Cade, maybe she has a chance, but hasn't done it yet for me in terms of her being a surefire winner. You know, Becca M I like, but again, you know, not necessarily the type of person who wins on this show. So Lauren S, that's my pick.
That's a good pick. Yeah. Franklin, thank you for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
We had a wonderful time.
As always, I'll be a loyal listener.
Sounds great. I hope you listen to this tomorrow. Sorry, today. I don't know. Obviously, we're recording this and it comes out at different times. I'm confused about how much people actually understand that. I'm not sitting here talking into your ear at the second that you're listening to it. I record this on Monday nights.
Taylor, safe travels home. Enjoy CES.
Yeah, Taylor will be back next week, and we'll be back to you at our normal time with the normal cast. But Franklin, thank you. It's been wonderful.
Farewell.
Everybody else, we'll see you next week.
I feel like I'm the last one of my friends to really take that step.
I did fall in love.
It's been a little surreal because I didn't know how this would turn out. I was a little skeptical. I
really had strong feelings for more than one person.
It is funny that nickname is hilarious.